1967, December 26th, working at Swenson Furniture in Minneapolis, my phone rang at Swenson Furniture and the pastor said, "Dwight, you better sit down." He said, "Your mom and dad were both just killed in a car accident." So I've sat by mom and dad's grave and I've emptied out my heart. I asked them for forgiveness. I wasn't a very nice guy then. Just turning around, went over to Fort Francis, dedicated my life to Christ, and shortly after that, went to Bible school, met Judy. We were married in July, and they were killed in December. And so those of you that still have mothers alive, appreciate them. And so keep Brian and DJ and Pat and Rick Cooper in prayer, because 4 hours they'll be unplugging their mother. And we're believing for a miracle. And so honor your mothers. You say, "Well, I didn't have the best mother. And I don't have the best mother." Yeah, you do. Honor her. Hannah's going to come and preach for... No. Hannah's going to come, and when Hannah's done, Sherry's going to come, and Hannah's going to come and read some scripture.
1 Samuel 1, 9 through 20. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost at the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, "Lord Almighty, if you will only look at your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my Lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him."
Thank you. Mrs. Jason Schonsberg.
Yes.
I'm reading out of 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 8. Paul, an apostle of Christ by the will of God, is keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear sons, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I have served as my ancestors did, with clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am remembered of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remember you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Father or of me in prison. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. So with Mother's Day, I love that the legacy of your grandmother and your mother, and then you can pass on just knowing the power of Jesus in love and just having his power and understanding it more and more. The word, the more revelation comes to us. So it's just really good that you can have a legacy. And if you don't have a legacy, we understand some moms aren't saved, but we are. And so we can start our legacy today for our children and their children and just keep praying and praying and praying over them on and on.
I want to talk to mothers and dads. And Paul was talking to Timothy, and I'm going to piggyback on what Sherry read my text, which I asked her to. The sincere faith that was in your grandmother Lois and is in your mother Eunice, and I'm convinced is in you. How many of you ever think that what's in you, you impart to your children? How many's ever heard, well, she's just the spitting image of her mother or the spitting image of his dad? I don't know where the word spitting image came from, but it's, in the Greek it means spitting image. But I want you to understand that your relationship with Jesus Christ, parents, moms, is going to encourage your children or discourage them to live for Jesus. There are times that we need to be careful how we act or how we respond to children even as they're older. You're not their God, and neither am I. As they grow older, you can't control them. But what you've invested in them will rise to the surface. It's coming to a place that in their relationship with you, they will determine which way they're going to live. A great determining factor is, what is my home life like? A great determining factor is, do I feel loved and accepted at home? And if I don't, how can I feel loved and accepted by God? You know, I made many mistakes as parents, and one of the mistakes I made is that I wasn't around that much. And one day I began to think, what if I gained the whole world for Jesus but lose my kids? Every one of you to your families are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That doesn't change if you have a bad day, if you have plans, if things are going wrong, if things are going right. You represent Jesus Christ to your children. 24/7. When that breaks down, there's issues. Your relationship with Jesus Christ will allow you to be real. How many have ever made a mistake in disciplining the wrong child? What do you do about that? Oh, it's okay. I didn't kill you. Besides that, you deserve it because you're going to do something tomorrow that I'm going to don't have to discipline for you now. But faith in Christ in our lives will allow us to be real and look at that child and say, hey, I made a mistake. I was wrong. Say this with me, honey. I'm sorry. Oh, that's really good. You go to the head of the class. Okay, let's do it this way. And your name isn't Fonzie. Honey, I was wrong. And I'm sorry. Do you know what those words mean to your child? It means you're real. It means you're carrying out something beyond always having to be right. Question to ask. Do you want to look right or do you want to be right? Interesting question. You know, Judy and I have three children, all boys but two. And you know, the middle one, amazingly difficult. Anybody know about the middle child syndrome? Kirk, you got to have one more. You got to have a middle child syndrome. If you don't have that, you don't have anything. Because they're the ones that always feel left out. She was a mummy's girl, the other two were daddy's. But I remember, I don't know, how old was she? A year and a half, and I picked her up to give her a little swat in her butt, and she tried to bite my nose. I knew I was in trouble. You know, I knew there was a strong-willed child in the Faring family. But yet, right now, she's the closest. She's the closest. But God has placed in us gifts and talents. You know, I get a kick out of watching Kirk and Taylor. Kirk's an imparter. Taylor gets to do everything he doesn't want to do. Kirk has taught him how to carry out the garbage. He imparted that to him. And I have imparted how to empty the garbage out. $2 a Friday. But that kid, and he is a kid to me, forgive me, a child, has more ability in his little finger than I do in my whole body. There's nothing he won't challenge. I heard him talking to Jerry the other day. Well, I want to get a couple of these electric toothbrushes, and I want to take the motor out, and what was he going to make, a plane? I thought, what? I got a mechanical engineer in the church at age 10 or 8 or 9 or... Oh, holy buckets, where'd that come from? Well, Kirk has a lot of talents. He doesn't want to demonstrate them a lot. I'm not saying he's lazy. I didn't say that, so don't leave here saying, oh, man. But let's stop and think for a moment. Paul's saying to Timothy, the sincere or the genuine faith that was in your grandmother Lois was in your mother Eunice, and I'm convinced it's in you. I like that. Paul said, Romans chapter 1, verse 11, I want to come to you so I can impart some gifts. Now, I don't know about you, but I had some things in my life when I was younger I didn't want to impart to my kids. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But there are things now in your life, and probably for several years, that you can look at and say, I want my children to have that depth of a relationship with God that I have. And here's the key. And I'm going to keep growing. I'm going to keep pursuing God. I'm going to keep following Jesus so that they don't stop when they're 15 or 16 and decide they don't need God and they don't need the church and they don't need this. And they go to college and get some ungodly professors and teach them everything that we have tried not to get them to believe. Our young people, our children, need to be grounded. Come here, Harry. Do you realize, what are you, 8?
10.
You can't be 10, you're not up my shoulder yet. Do you realize that already he's a man of God? Come on. He's anointed by the Holy Spirit. Now, Journey, I don't want you to feel guilty. Get up here. Don't want to? Come on anyway. What a gal. What a boy. They're both children of God, but yet they're both anointed by the Holy Spirit already. Can you look at your child like that? You want to sing? You can go. Teaching to sit in the second row, won't it? But you know, we think of them as the church of the future. Why not the church today? Why not looking at our children and saying they have value today, right now? Remember when the kids prayed for the gal with cancer? Was Skyped here? She's still healed, Sherry? She's healed. I told that to some people. They're, what? Yeah. Teach your kids the first thing is to be born again. To know Jesus Christ, to realize that God loves you, to realize that Jesus gave his life, to realize that you're as valuable in the kingdom of God as I am. Maybe they make a mistake. What do you do? You do the same thing God does. He forgives them. As they come, they're forgiven. They're not a second-class citizen.
Amen.
I would never be up here. I was a drunk. I didn't know what an alcoholic was. But at 18, 17, when I graduated, I lost scholarships to go to college free because I was stupid. Not book stupid, just stupid. Mom never called me pastor. She called me a bunch of other stuff. Just like Curtis does. That's why he got up in leadership. He's not afraid to take on pastor. And you, I don't know about you, you're going up and down the hill and I'm sitting out there eating your dust. Didn't even stop and offer me a glass of water in that air-conditioned car. Can we laugh in church?
Yes.
Do you dare to have fun? But you know, in all this, there's some meat to chew on. You know, as I'm preaching, sometimes you just got to stop and put it between your cheek and gum and chew on it for a while, suck on it. But there are times you just need to swallow stuff. This stuff you need to swallow. Make sure that your life has directed your children in the way of God.
Yes,
amen. If you've breathed, you've been hurt. Okay? If you've breathed, somebody has probably betrayed you. Somebody said things against you. Do you know something? Your children pick that up. I'm sure glad you don't have roast preacher for lunch on Sunday. He doesn't taste very good. But also just be careful who you do have. Learn not to fight in front of your children. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And when you fight or argue, don't be historical. I didn't say hysterical, I said historical. In other words, come to a place where the issue at hand is the only issue you bring up. Don't bring up what happened in 1950. My wife, plug your ears, Judy. We were driving through Fargo one day, and she said something, and I said, I've never done anything that you asked that I didn't do for you. Oh, yes, you did. I said, what was that? I wanted a Dairy Queen a couple weeks ago, and you wouldn't go get it. I said, honey, the road was tore up. I couldn't get there. She don't remember. I'm historical. But as you enter stuff, keep it current. Do you know why? Because if you're bringing stuff up, that means it still hurts you. And you haven't forgiven. Wow. Good point for that, huh? Come to a place in the sincere faith that you expect more from your children than the way you've lived.
Mm-hmm.
Chew on that for a minute. How many of you were living in sin for a while when you were growing up? Anybody? Expect your kids not to have to go through that.
Amen.
Expect your kids and believe in your kids that they're not going through drugs. You know, everybody's saying, well, there are drugs now and the kids got to go through it. No, they don't. You can teach them to make proper choices.
Amen.
You can teach them to walk that life in Christ. You can teach them the decision they make will be the right one.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what your child's going through, keep in mind, they're still your child. Even at 30 or 40 or 20 or 10, they're still your child. Accept them. I hear people saying, I don't know what I'd do if my child did that. I do. You just love them. Unconditionally. Loving your child doesn't mean you condone what they're doing. The father doesn't condone a lot of stuff people do, but he does, but he still loves them.
That's right.
Love is a genuine characteristic of God.
Yes.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. So here's what Paul says. Did you say that, Paul? Paul says, stir up the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of hands. Stir it up. In other words, build a little kindling. Throw it in there. Let it burn. Let the Spirit burn in you. And then he says this, and I'm done. He says, for God has not given us the spirit of timidity or a coward, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Make the tough decisions. But make the tough decisions in love. Your children may try to rebel. I hate that word. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Do you ever have your 2-year-old or 3-year-old or 4-year-old look at you and say, no! My puppy does that. No! You don't punish your children. I hear that a lot. I'm going to go punish them. No, you don't. You discipline them. You train them. You teach them. You don't beat them. Train up a child in the way that they should go. Isn't that what it says? God says those that he loves, he disciplines, he trains. We're still in training. He loves us. Otherwise, he said you're illegitimate. This is probably the toughest one. Be a parent before you're their friend. I love the way you're shouting. Be a parent before you're their friend. As their friend, you'll let them get by with a lot of stuff that you need to put your foot down. I was coming out of the lot the other night, and this 4-year-old was on a bike. And Dave Severson's grandson. And I looked, and he was behind me, and so I stopped. Dave waved at me, and I stopped, and we were talking, and I just shifted and ready to go, and I had told, don't go in front of the car. And I shifted down and just started to step on it, and there he was, right in front of me. If I had been talking to Dave and shifted and stepped on it, I would have went over him. It needs to be told him as Dave did. Rebellion, boy, I got so many thoughts going through my head. You say, boy, this message is really disjointed. Rebellion is not tipping your milk over at the dinner table.
That's right.
I love the parents that are saying amen. Even when Curtis does it, that's not rebellion. Rebellion is when you tell them to sit down and they reach for something across the table. That's a different story. Rebellion, and thank God it isn't being clumsy. Are you clumsy?
My mom says, Grace is not my name.
Mom says, Grace is not my name. I love that. How cool is that? Mom says, Grace is not my name. You got another name? Okay. How many of you have set perimeters about how many times you'll tell a kid to do something, a child to do something? How many of us lie to our children? You do that again, I'm going to spank you. You do that again, I'm going to spank you. You do that again, you're going to your room. You do that again, you're going to your room. You do that again, you're going to your room. Oh, it's stuck. You're lying to them. How many of you have grounded your kid for 2 minutes? Go stand in the corner. Oh, you're pardoned. You're okay. Discipline doesn't mean you don't love them. Discipline means you do love them.
Amen.
And moms, wave at me if you're a mom. Wave at me if you want to hear this. You don't. Moms, you're the one that's home the most. Except a lot of moms work out of the home now. But if you're a home mom, which is a lot of work, you're kind of the leader in discipline until dad gets home. But don't let him slough off. You say all the stuff that needs to be said and he get all the hugs when he comes home. It's not fair. I got one supporter here in the front now. The home can be a wonderful place, or it can be a place of turmoil. Look at yourselves and say this: through Christ, I'm in charge. It means you have to work as a team. It means, Mom, when you tell them no and Dad comes home and tell them yes, don't get upset with your child. Hello. Talk to your husband. Or Dad, if you say no and Mom says yes, don't get upset with a child. Until you tell them, you ask one, and that's the only one you ask. When no is no and yes is yes, that's it. We okay?
Yes, amen.
Can make it easier on both of you. And husbands, the best thing that you can do for your children, and I'm done, second time I said it, is love your wife. Let the children and the grandchildren know you love her. And don't let them split that. Mama's word is as good as my word. And Daddy's word is as good as Mummy's word. But I've learned something with our kids. And that is, whoever's being asked a question to do something, ask, what did your mother say or what did your dad say? Now I'm done. But one more thing. Remember, I got to go to Sioux Falls with Mr. Helbert. My kids used to come to me and they made my decisions very easy. Because they come to me and they'd say, I know you're going to say no, but can we do this? And I said, no, I don't want to disappoint you and say yes. Parenting is wonderful. Being a grandparent is exceptional. Kids go home at night. And I get to sleep. We have a, how old is she? 1-month-old granddaughter. What a cutie. But boy, she got good lungs at a young age. And then we got a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, 4, and a 5, 6. Man. I'm sure glad I was never that wild. They take after their mother and grandmother. Love your family. First of all, love God and let them see it. Love your wife. Love your children. And I'll tell you something. You'll have a peaceful life. You'll have a peaceful life. Mothers, you're so special. We honor you. We love you. We thank you for being you. and keep the faith. Even when you have a tough day, speak love into your children. Speak faith into your children. Let that faith that's in you be imparted to them. And let them see Christ in you. You have a wonderful day. God bless you.